Hey everybody, my name is Eric.
My name is Takandra, and welcome to Building with the Browns.
We are super excited to bring you fresh revelation and perspectives based on our life experiences.
Yes, we are all about laying foundational truths regarding marriage, love, faith, family, finances, and more that are built to last.
We hope you enjoy Building with the Browns.
Well, this is our first podcast for Building with the Browns. Aren't you excited?
No. So excited. That was the fans. That was the fans. Yeah, that was the fans.
We figured that maybe we should start out this podcast just by telling everybody a little bit about us, right? Our story. What's our story?
Our story.
The whole story.
The whole story. Nothing but the story.
Okay. It's a long story.
Listen. We got over 20-something years together as a couple, which sounds crazy because we are
not that old.
And I'm not going to be that old until I'm gone. Okay. So, forever young, right?
Forever. But yeah, we totally have a story to tell, and it's quite the unconventional story, and that's what makes us unique as a couple, right? So,
yeah.
Where do we start? Should I start? Do you want to start?
Absolutely, you start because husbands, listen. Ladies tell the best stories. All right. We love to leave out details.
It depends because I was trained by an awesome storyteller and he was a male.
Who learned from a female how to tell stories. All right.
Okay. So I'll start. And it all began.
Oh my God. No. We're not going to make it. These people don't already signed off.
Okay. So we grew up together. You know, you hear about the girl that lives down the street and the guy lives down the street and they kind of checking each other out, but they, nah.
Listen, this is how it happened, all right? Church was our thing. Like, we knew each other from church. And so she was my church crush.
Yeah. My grandma said we were ordained from the wombs. Like, that's how close our families are. Like, my grandmother and his grandmother, I wouldn't say they grew up together, but they
in the same
knew community. Each other, yeah, it, within the same community for years. So our parents, our moms anyway, grew up together for the most part, and we just kind of stumbled upon each other at the age of 9. It was my 9th birthday. I honestly don't remember anything about you prior to my 9th birthday. And which that's is, sad.
Yeah, so
that's
weird.
Crazy, right? Because we were going to the same church.
Right.
At least for about, what, maybe a year and a half or so? Had to be. But I don't remember anything until our 9th birthday. Like, that's my starting point.
Yeah, and I think part of that is because I didn't live in the same area.
Right.
To start out. So my first 8 years of my life, I lived in a completely different city.
Right.
Although I visited
the country, y'all.
The country.
I grew up in the country playing.
I was at
City,
my grandmother's
Florida.
House all the time.
I remember that day we were at a church service, and the odd thing about it is that I was actually digging your cousin. Like, I wanted to hook up with Pierre, yeah. at 9 years old. It was our birthday, and I'm sitting in church. They were sitting on the pew either behind us or in front of me, and I had made up in my mind that I was going to ask Pierre to be like my boyfriend. He was light skinned. He wasn't tall. I mean, he was tall, excuse me. But he wasn't dark and handsome, okay? Like my boo. I was more interested in his cousin than I was him at the time. But anyway, we went to a water park. Not a water park. It was the, what was it? Lithia Springs.
Yeah, Lithia
we went
Springs.
To Lithia Springs that day. And that whole day, I was just like checking out Pierre. I wanted to hook up with Pierre, sadly. We went back home, and for those of you who don't know much about me, before my husband tries to go ahead and say it, I'm going to say it. I grew up in a trailer, a single wide trailer, right? But don't get it twisted. Everybody used to come to our trailer to hang out. Everybody, okay? Like my brother, all his friends, they would come hang out at the trailer to play the video games. We had this huge front yard. Like, we would go outside and have fun, so our trailer was a spot. Okay.
And for the life of me, I don't understand how we had all those people in a single wide.
A single wide.
It wasn't double.
It wasn't extravagant, but it wasn't cramped.
It
wasn't like most single wide trailers you see like in those, some of those trailer parks.
Right.
We didn't live in a trailer park. We had a trailer on some land.
Oh, I've always embraced the trailer. Many times in the trailer.
Yeah.
Before the house.
So. Yeah, absolutely. So anyway, we were in my brother's room, all of us that were at the birthday party, and we had, I have this cousin who, she had us play some type of game. I think it was Truth or Dare. And she dared us to kiss. Me and Eric, she dared us to like do a smooch on the lips or something like that. And we did it. We did the dare. And that just opened up the door to this whole new idea of liking someone else. I don't know what it was. What is something on your lips? I don't understand. I'm just confused.
Yes, I was blessed with two plump soup coolers. Okay.
Cause
listen, I would blow your house down with these lips.
Right,
you hear me?
Them lungs.
That's right.
I don't know what it is. I think I was trapped. Like for real. From that day forward, I was no longer interested in Pierre. My twin sister, I'm a twin, she ended up hooking up with Pierre, and I ended up hooking up with Eric, and the rest is pretty much history. But that's where it all began. Our ninth birthday party. Me and my twin sister's ninth birthday party.
Yeah. So, I mean, we continue this journey of boyfriend, girlfriend, puppy love.
Puppy love, yeah.
For a few years. I mean, through middle school and then part of high school.
It was kind of, yeah.
We was a little off and on in
high school.
Everybody associated you and I with each other. So...
Right. Not to forget, we were in the same church. Mm-hmm. He was the drummer. I was the piano player. We couldn't get away from each other.
Right.
Yeah.
At least three times a week
we saw
each other.
We saw each other. Like, I looked forward to going to church to see him. Like, I would get butterflies.
Listen, y'all, let me just interject here for a second.
What?
So, I come from a church family that lived in the church. My wife, on the other hand, her mom and them, they will sometimes come when they wanna.
Wanna when she wanna. That's my mom.
So I would be so disappointed when they would be late or and they wouldn't show up at all. Because I'm like, I only get like three times a week to see you and you didn't show up one of those times. So I would be sitting in church like, I wish he hurried up and finished so I can.
Oh, you had the poop face in church?
I used to, but you would never know because you would be gone. To be honest, I think it was because they didn't want to put on no skirts.
Yeah.
Because they couldn't wear no jeans or shorts. So they didn't want to change out of their cool outfits from school and put on them long.
You talking about Wednesday night Bible?
Yes, them Omnis skirts. Everybody had those skirts on. Boy, I tell you what.
Oh, my goodness.
Gosh, boy, we come a long way.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
But, yeah, so you looked forward to seeing me at church.
I did.
Especially... when we didn't, when we no longer went to school together, that was in high school.
Yeah.
10th grade, your 10th grade. No, my 10th grade. Because we were together 9th grade.
Well, I mean, I was in high school a year before you, so you were a year at middle school.
Middle school, we went to school together. So we went to school and we would see each other in church on Wednesday nights and rehearsals and Sundays. So, yeah, we had something to look forward to. We spent a lot of time with each other. So our foundation is really... of that, we were friends, kind of, sort of, I guess you can call it. More like family, really. Yeah. We were so close that we had to make sure we weren't related. It was like, okay, are we kissing cousins? We got to make sure.
Yeah.
But anyway, we were off and on throughout high school where you left off.
So we were off and on throughout high school. I ended up actually changing high schools my sophomore year. So I ended up... basically moving what we call uptown, okay, because we all lived in the country, and we call uptown or...
the city.
Really, the city, you know, uptown.
It was 5 minutes away.
I went to the high school that my mom graduated from and my aunt.
And my mom. My parents graduated
pretty
from.
Pretty much, yeah. Everybody that lived in that city went to this high school prior to the new one that we all went to.
Yeah.
So that presented some interesting challenges for us just because... we didn't see each other as often.
Right.
And so you had your own stuff going. I had my own stuff going. I was introduced to new people.
New girls.
Yep, absolutely.
You're like, I was new people.
Yeah, what? I was the new kid on the block.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so I guess we were on, but we were off.
Yeah, but anyway, people knew us.
Yeah, everybody. Like I said earlier, I said everybody associated one of us with the other.
Or the so, Eric with the twin.
Yeah.
Twin from the country.
Oh, you with the twin? Are you still with twin or whatever? And yeah, I'd be like, yes or no or, you know, or whatever. So, yeah, I think with that separation, I think a lot of stuff transpired individually to the point to where when I got ready to graduate, we were kind of at a crossroad as far as where we were going to go with our relationship because I was actually leaving. I ended up joining the military.
Mm-hmm.
And so she still had a year left in high school, mm-hmm. and I was on my way to basic training right after high school. Like, I didn't waste any time.
You raised no time. Bye.
I graduated in May.
Yeah.
I was in basic training in July. And so that was still, I don't know, it was still weird as far as us as a couple, but I don't think we've ever really been completely off. I think we've always maintained that title of girlfriend, boyfriend. Like, I don't think we ever were like, you're my ex. Or,
oh, okay. Okay. I see where you're going with this. No, we were off. We were totally off. Okay. Now, what had happened was when he left, right before, well, we went to your basic training graduation. When I went to his basic training graduation, we were not a couple, but we were just, we were really close.
We were cordial at the time.
Yeah, we were cordial. We weren't in a relationship, but we were still acting like it, kind of, sort of. You know, when we were around each other, it was like we would hold hands, hug, maybe even kiss, but we knew we weren't technically in a relationship. And there was a whole story of, you know, craziness behind that. But after his basic training, he was leaving to go to New York for his first duty station.
I went to Virginia.
Virginia for training for the Army. And then he came back.
It was kind of like a
relaxation. Two-week vacation before he went to his first actual duty station. And my grown behind.
Come on, tell the truth. Testify. Tell the people what they want to hear.
I'm going to tell them. All right. I call myself trying to skip school one day. Me, Miss Goody Two Shoes. Now, mind you, I was the perfect girl. I call myself skipping school one day, pretending to be sick. But all the while, that same cousin who made us dare to kiss was the same one that took me up to the house where Eric was. And I ended up spending a few hours with him. Things happened.
Listen, we were doing grown folk stuff.
We had no business
doing what we was doing
at all. God help us.
Yep.
Lord, everything. We did everything wrong. We did everything wrong. Anyway, within, 3 months after he left?
Oh, it was February.
Well, it was a month.
It was like 6 weeks. I had just got to my unit. I had just got all my stuff. It was cold. I was like, oh, man, I'm excited. I'm in New York. This is crazy. I don't want to be here. Boom.
Yeah. I was pregnant.
One shot. The one time, y'all.
The one time.
The one time.
We did not use protection, right?
Yeah.
I tell you, I got caught up. You hear me? Anyway.
Whew.
This is where the story gets interesting, okay?
Yeah, it gets very interesting because, again, she's a senior in high school with 3 months left, right?
I was a senior in high school. Yeah, I was getting ready to graduate in May.
I am. I'm a whole adult out here in training and trying to get adjusted to life away from all my family. Mm-hmm. Like, I had no family in New York. And so this is the first time I was away. And don't forget, guys, we were 18 and 17.
Yeah.
Life just flashed before my eyes. I think I remember dropping my phone.
You was straight
in
silent.
The snow. And I didn't know how to react. I didn't know what to say. I wasn't surprised, but I was shocked. And so immediately I'm like, well, I'm far away. They can't come get me. But then I felt so bad because I'm like, she gotta go tell her mom and dad. And I gotta call my mom. Mind you, my dad, who the first thing he said to me was, when you start having sex. I was like, man, I just told you my girl pregnant. Like, help me. I need help. But
can you imagine how I felt?
Yeah.
I struggled.
Tell them about your dad's reaction.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. No, I'm not telling them about
my you're not going to tell
them? My daddy would hang me. No.
Okay, yeah, you're right.
You know what?
It was.
It was so dramatic, like, for me. It was so dramatic because I just knew I was not pregnant. Mm-hmm. I went and bought the most expensive pregnancy test that I could find. And it told me that I wasn't pregnant. So I was like, I'm good. See, I'm good. I still didn't come on my cycle. And I was like, okay, what's really going on? So I went to Walmart and bought the cheapest brand pregnancy test that I could find. And lo and behold, it told me I was pregnant. And
big old
I was in so much denial. Oh my God. So Eric was gone. When he found out, of course, he was already gone. So he didn't get to experience, you know, a lot of the things with me going to the doctor's appointments and stuff like that. And then we had an opportunity to see each other and that went left. We went the whole 9 months without him seeing me, touching me, you know, experiencing the whole pregnancy with me. And that was hurtful. And there was a lot of emotions. There was a lot of resentment during this time. There was a whole bunch of negativity. You know, I really fought to enjoy being pregnant because, again, I had to put aside a lot of things. I had just gotten accepted into a university down in Florida that I was going to go to after I graduated. So at this point, everything about my life is questionable. I was sat down in the church as the piano player. I took on a lot of the backlash and the punishment, if you will, for our sin while he was away in New York, just kind of like enjoying his life in the army. And I was back at home dealing with everybody, being in everybody's face, being the talk of the town. And, you know, it was a lot on me. So when it came time for me to give birth, I honestly didn't want him there. If I just be honest, I didn't care if he was there or not. There were a lot of things that was said that I personally, I believe, spoke into existence that ended up happening. And it was just a lot. You know, the night that I went into labor, he was on the road headed from New York. Mm-hmm. And I went into labor the night he got on the road. So it was like from New York to Florida, that was like a
21 hours.
A 21-hour drive. So he showed up the next day after the baby was born. And needless to say, a whole bunch went down. Again, this is where I really get into my loss and what I experienced after giving birth to our daughter. To make a long story short, I ended up hemorrhaging, in which, for those of you who don't know what that means, I ended up bleeding out after giving birth to her to the point where they couldn't stop the bleeding. So they had to make a decision to either save my womb or my life. Mm-hmm. And at that point, I had lost so much blood that I was losing my life. So they took my womb. When he came to the hospital that next day and he walked in the room, I didn't know how I was going to react. I didn't know how I was going to feel seeing him for the first time after not seeing him for 9 months. He wasn't there for the birth of the baby. I had a horrible experience with birthing her. And now I got to see his face. I didn't know how to feel. He walked into the room and he's like always been a weakness for me. And the first thing he did was he came up to me and kissed me on the lips. Here we go with these doggone lips.
It's the kiss of life.
It was more like the kiss of betrayal. It felt like I felt like,
oh, now you calling me Judas?
Dude, that's what it felt like when you kissed me that day. Oh my God. I was like, did Judas just kiss me? Oh my God.
You know, knowing now and being able to look back, I think we proved to ourselves that true love does cover a multitude of sins. Like the love that you don't have to force. And so for me, when I came in, there was some discord and there was some disconnection that occurred and, you know, a lot of, you know, unanswered questions and things like that. However, there was that connection that we had that I didn't have with anybody else to where it always felt like I never left you or I never was apart from you. And so for me, when I walked in, I was like, this is still my girl. You see what I'm saying? Like, it wasn't like an ownership thing, but it was like I was just proud of you for surviving all of that, like going through because I knew that you went into surgery while I was on the road. Your grandmother told me while on the phone, and I was like, well, what'd that mean? You know, so now I'm already on adrenaline because I've been up, you know, driving, and I had so many thoughts. I had all that time to myself to be like, you know what? You better put everything aside and be there and be present. And so that was kind of like my mindset, I think, As I, you know, kind of think back on that, because I had a lot going on in that 9 months as well, because not only was I, you know, in the Army, but I was already slated to go to Iraq.
Yeah, you were preparing my first to go to deployment.
And so I had to do training. I had to, in the midst of all of that other craziness that I brought into our situation, I had to kind of balance my training because I was getting ready to go to war. And you know what that meant.
Yeah.
Didn't know at what 18, that was going to look like. Yeah. All I knew was people was 19. Going and they weren't coming back. Right. And so my life, you know, outlook had all of a sudden became like, you know, right in my face, you know, right. a true happened. Reality. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, you don't have time to play games.
Definitely. But the moment he laid eyes on Maya, everything I had experienced up until that point went out the window. Like, I didn't care for you to have her in your arms. And for you, for her to look you in the eye and for you to really see her and, you know, like, hey, this is real. Like, this is mine. She belongs to me. Like, she looked just like me. Okay. And for the next 2 weeks, it was kind of like a roller coaster. It was good and it was bad, you know, but at the end of the day, I knew he was preparing to go to war. And lo and behold, like after he left, Maya was born October 13th. Mm-hmm. He left. He was home for 2 weeks. And then he left. He went back to New York. And November, he deployed to Iraq for Operation Iraqi Freedom. And we weren't together.
Right.
Oh, you admit it?
No, we weren't together because we kind of left on still those uncertain terms.
In that time frame while he was away, I began to, you know, do my thing. I went back to school. I got a job. I started seeing other people. And somebody caught feelings.
I only caught feelings because, okay, it's a whole lot of this story that is not, that we just can't all fit it in this podcast. But yeah. Growing up, okay, my parents split, right? And so I experienced not having one parent in the household for most of my life. And so I always told myself, I said, I never want my child to grow up like that because I knew what that felt like firsthand. And so for me, when you started dating other people and stuff like that, and I was in a position to where I couldn't physically be there, I didn't want someone else to think that they needed to step in and be there for my daughter. So it was more on that. But at the same time, like, I don't really want to lose the mother of my child either to somebody else. Because I'm away.
You made that sound so sweet.
Well, it's the truth.
Yep. He came home from Iraq for 2 weeks. We spent
the whole time
together. He got to, you know, be with Maya and everything. And then he left and we still weren't even a couple. Yeah. Like, at the point, were we? I said we weren't.
I don't think we were.
We weren't.
It was one of those things. We were just good together.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know.
And then he came back and next thing you know, I got a ring in the mail, y'all.
This unconventional story just keeps getting better. I don't know who advised me. I want to say it was my best friend. And Jack, I don't know if it wasn't you, just let me know.
It had to be.
It had to be, because I think he went to the mall with me. But he was like, why don't you just send it in the mail?
That was his idea?
That probably was.
Oh my goodness.
I couldn't take all the credit. I think it was. And I was like, okay. So I wrote a letter or I got a card or something. And
you had a card.
I had a card and I put the ring in it and I mailed it to you and I asked you to marry me.
Now think about this.
Yeah.
This was a, I don't remember how much or how, it was a marquee cut ring. That's all I remember. He like sent eight, a eight ring in the mail, y'all. This is how much times have changed.
Yeah.
You ain't sending no ring in the mail these days.
Nah.
Okay. So this was 2000, what, three, four?
2004. Yeah.
You sent the ring through the mail and my crazy behind, crazy for him, I was just like, yep. Like everything, every bit of resentment, anger, frustration, whatever I had against him, I did not care. We ended up getting married. We got married in New York. It was not a traditional wedding. And I left my job. I left everything pretty much behind, and me and Maya moved to New York with Eric. I am now a new mom at 18. I'm married at 19. I've married a soldier. I'm a military wife. This is crazy.
Yeah.
All right. So now we're happily married in the military, living in New York. And I was like, bro, you got to get me out of this weather. I can't do this cold weather. I'm a Southern girl. we got to go. Yeah. And he did that. He got the option to PCS, which is have a permanent change of station. And we came to Texas. I am
impressed that you remember that.
I remember my terminology. You better
get your acronyms. Come on, girl.
Come on. I'm a military wife. Okay. I know a little bit. But we came to Texas, and you guys, we did everything backwards. We did everything wrong. So even us getting married was a whole new experience. Like, we'd never lived together. I didn't really know how to cook. I didn't know how to mother, you know, my daughter. My parents helped me the first year while he was away. They helped me raise Amaya. And it was a lot. Like, I felt like Eve straight up out the Bible. Like, Eve didn't get an example. She didn't get, you know, a mom to teach her or a grandmother to teach her anything about being a wife and a mother. She just woke up next to this man who was her husband, and she was a wife.
Right.
She didn't even have a youth. She was a woman. So I kind of felt like me, like, being married young, having a daughter at a young age and being a wife. It's just like I was thrown into this whole new world when I barely had even established my own identity as in who I was as Takandra.
Y'all, outside of the military, I really didn't have a plan. Okay.
No.
And so going into the military, I mean, it consumed my life, my day-to-day life. They told me where to be, what to wear, what time to be there, you know, all of those things. So that part of my life had structure, but everything else I had to kind of figure it out.
We had to figure it out.
I had to kind of figure it out.
We were straight up figuring it out. And we'll go more into details about our marriage and what it's been like for us over the past 15 years as a married couple. Again, how many? Over 24 years together.
Yeah.
But we are going on 15 years.
Woohoo!
Woohoo!
15 baby.
Years married.
Yeah.
And it has been a journey. But for the most part, that is where our story begins. And now you guys get to jump in this journey with us and learn more about us and how we've built what we have. There are some people who don't even have the chemistry and the connection that we have. And we like to be honest. Look, it has not always been this way. It's been a journey. It's been a process. We've been together for better or for worse, for rich or for poor.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I don't know too much about the sickness and health part, but just yet. But we've been through a season of those moments together, and through 3 deployment separation, there's so much that we can talk about that has shaped our character and our union as a married couple, a military couple at that. There's so many challenges in and of itself that come with being in the military. So our whole focus is to basically state that we should not be together, but we are living proof that if you have the stuff that sticks, you won't quit, and that you can have a marriage that's built to last.
Absolutely. And it doesn't matter how you start, it's how you finish. And so your story is always being written. It's always, until you're gone, it's a process. It's always in movement. And
right.
So, you know, our hope is to encourage others to not so much focus on where you are, but where you want to be.
Where you want to be and the journey.
Yeah.
So, you guys, that is our story. Of course, we can't wait to share more with you throughout the rest of the upcoming podcast as we talk about more things as it relates to marriage and what has shaped us and made our foundation something that's built to last.